Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, everyone. This is Sarah Marshall from Kent Memorial Library.
And I'm Courtney Sahalis from the Millbrook Library.
How are things, Courtney?
Oh, busy, but all good.
Good. It looks like our topic is book groups today. Do you want to get started?
Yeah, so we have a book group that meets, I believe it's the last Friday of every month, usually around 4 o'clock, and it's been going for a while now. I think we took a break during COVID, as many things did, but we have a pretty consistent group of people that meets, and our adult programmer runs it, and I think people really like coming because they get a chance to read books that they may not have read otherwise, and I know I don't run the book club in my position here, but in my previous position, where I worked at the Pleasant Valley Library, I ran an online book club that was done over Goodreads.
Okay.
And it was really nice for people who didn't have time to actually make it to a meeting every month and could just read the book on their own time during the month and then post about it in, like, a discussion forum.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and that actually worked out really well for me because I was in college at the time and had no free time ever, and it was nice to get to read things that I wouldn't normally read. I read, like, a police thriller that was actually great, I think, by Don Winslow, I want to say, and it was just, it got me out of my reading comfort zone, and everybody kind of, like, suggested books during the month and voted on them, and whichever one got the most votes, we would read. So I think that's, like, why I personally like the book clubs. It's because, like, you're like, oh, wow, I never would have picked this up, but this is actually a great story.
Yeah. So that's interesting, though. I like that you know, it's sort of asynchronous in that it's everyone on their own schedule versus, you know, we have a variety of book clubs here. Some meet in person, some meet on Zoom, which is a whole, you know, changes the dynamic also. But I didn't realize that there were asynchronous book clubs where you basically just read a book and post about it and communicate that way. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, and it worked out pretty well, and I think they still have it going. I think the person that took over the adult programming stuff when I left is still doing it now even, which is great.
That's really cool. That's cool. Do you have other book groups for in your children's department too?
We don't have any that meet at the library. We do supply the books for, I believe the schools have book clubs, so we supply the books for them from the system.
Okay.
And that seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, great. Great. So what do you know what your book club just read recently?
Oh, I know they're taking a break this month.
Okay.
So because of the holidays.
Yeah. So. It's a lot. It's one more thing.
Yeah. And I want to say I think their next book is A Gentleman in Moscow.
Nice.
So that's an older one, but I think people will really like that.
Yeah, everyone. That's actually one that's been on my list for a while. I haven't gotten to it yet, but everyone that has read it really says once you get through it's a little slow at first, but once you get through the first couple of chapters, he's just an incredibly endearing character, and there's just a lot to talk about in that one.
So you said that you have a lot of book clubs at your library.
We sure do. Yeah, well, we have... It's a lot of different ways that we've approached book clubs. So the children's group, the children's staff runs their own book clubs. We have, we might have mentioned this in a previous conversation, we have the Nutmeg Awards, which are voted on by a crew of people across the whole state. And every year it's like 10 young adult, 10 middle grade, and 10 early grade books. And they're all kind of like the best of the group, and then people read them all and vote on them, and we do book clubs with those, and that's nice because, you know, kids do like to cross things off a list. So that's, a lot of people do, not just kids. So they do that pretty frequently, and but then they also, now that some of the kids have been in it for a couple of years, so if they started as like an early middle schooler, like a fourth or fifth grader, by the time they're in seventh and eighth grade, they're starting to get a little curious about maybe what's in our young adult collection, so they can sometimes pick a different book out of a different, you know, group of options. And they have sort of different levels depending on the age group for book clubs for kids. And then for the adults, we have a variety. So we have a retired English professor who's lived in town, had a house in town for probably 30 years, 30, 40 years, and she does a book club that she organizes well in advance around a particular central theme. So I think this year is family dysphoria. There's this fall, and they meet for four sessions, and it's all roughly about that sort of, you know, that particular idea. And then she'll do another session in the spring. That has a nice following. They get about 16 people once a month or so, but it switched to Zoom during COVID, and it has now stayed on Zoom because everyone who is in that group has just discovered they really prefer not to have to leave their houses. So they hop on Zoom, and then we have some people who Zoom in from other states, you know, friends of that sort of book club group. Oh, here's another club. You can join it from Zoom. And so that's been interesting to see the range of that group. But so that's handled by a long-time volunteer. So it's not staff. We handle the publicity, and we handle the book ordering and such. But she's the one who manages all the thematic stuff and then actually running it. And then we have a couple of book clubs in town that meet at the library that what we'll do is we will, if they want us to, we order the books and let them know when they come in, and then they meet when they feel like it. So they have a couple that meet on Sundays. There's two that meet on Sunday afternoons. They have keys. It's a lot of keys floating around Kent to the library. And then there's one that I have been involved with, starting just as a patron almost, when I was a really, when I was a young mom. We started this book group. We've been together for, I think, I've lost count, but I'm thinking it's probably 16 years.
Oh, wow.
It's ridiculous. And we've got a group of about 40 people, and we try to organize ourselves on Facebook. We have a Facebook page that we keep putting ideas into. And I would say we get maybe between eight and 10 people, you know, when we pick a book, out of the 40 who seem to be interested in what it is that we're reading. But that's been going really well, and we read all sorts of different things. We just read a book that's been out for maybe 4 or 5 years called Should We Stay or Should We... No, not 4 or 5 years, because it refers to COVID. Should We Stay or Should We Go by Lionel Shriver, which we really liked. We've got a new one now that is called Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin.
Oh, and that's on my list.
It's so good! And I'd read it when it came out maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and we decided to let me explain. When we do our book groups, we always want to use library books. We don't always want to have to buy them. So it means, and you probably have the same situation in New York, we can't get multiple copies of brand new books.
Yes.
Because other libraries won't let them out. So we do have to pick things that are, you know, at least 6, 8 months old, sometimes even a year, if not even older, so that we can get, you know, lots of copies of it. So that's what helps guide our decisions, like availability. It gets really disappointing if you all decide you want to read a book and nobody can get it, and then you sit around mad. But it's a nice group, and, you know, a lot of us have aged through this from having young children to being empty nesters, and we've got some people in there, sometimes late 50s and early 60s. We've got people that come who are in their 30s. It's a lovely group. We try not to devolve into sort of current town gossip, but sometimes it happens. What would book club be? But what's the other nice thing about it is that it meets at the library instead of someone's house, so nobody has to, like, clean.
Yes.
And there's always, and, you know, we usually have a couple of extra bottles of wine or snacks around, so people bring things, but it's been lovely. We really enjoy it. And then there's a men's group that isn't necessarily a men's group by definition, but it just has been. And it's about 8 older gentlemen who they meet at a local restaurant, but we also order their books. So they just let us know what they want, and then we do our best to find it. And it's great. I love, we are, you know, a big town of readers. I'm sure you are too over there in Millbrook.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's funny because, like, we'll have our patrons in book clubs, in, like, our book club, but then they're also, like, in the Pleasant Valley Book Club.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Clinton Library Book Club.
Yeah, a lot of double dippers.
Yeah, that whenever, like, the Stanford Library book club picks their book, I know what it is because we'll have a bunch of people requesting it. So.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes that'll happen. You know, something will suddenly get some sort of social media buzz, or a new book will come out from an author that's established, and suddenly other book clubs are clearly picking it. You know, that you try to get a copy and you can't because there's 50 available and 48 are checked out of something that's 3 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Lessons in Chemistry was the one that happened for like years, it felt like.
Yes.
Everybody wanted to read it.
On and on and on and on. Yeah, that's funny. So we don't really have necessarily a group that reads the newest releases because, as I said, most of our group wants to get them from the library. So it sort of slows that process down.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I've read some interesting things I wouldn't necessarily have picked up. We have a funny one where... we have one particular member of our book group who is, let's just say, relentlessly cheerful. She's a good friend. She would laugh if she heard that. But she's just loads of fun and happy, happy, happy all the time. And she really wanted to read a Christmas book. And, you know, generally Christmas books are pretty light on thematic elements or, like, important things to discuss. So we were like, okay, fine. We'll pick a Christmas book. And we chose Holidays on Ice by David Sedaris.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's so funny. And she was beside herself. She's like, I wanted a happy Christmas book. It's not a happy Christmas book. Oh, gosh, it was a load of fun. So we have a group. It's, you know, the hardest part is deciding on what it is we're going to read. I think that's true with any book group, is coming to some sort of consensus. And that's why, you know, the one that's directed by this retired professor, they read what they're told, you know, and sometimes they all hate it. I have occasionally popped in on those groups and you'll just see people raising their hand and be like, I don't think this is the book for us.
Yeah, but that makes for a great book club meeting.
I think so too. Book club is better when the book is awful. Anyway, yeah, we're all enjoying our current one, I'm sure we won't meet until January. It's just too much this time of the year.
Yes, I know. That's why we were like, well, we're having some like staffing transitions anyway. Somebody else is taking over the book club.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know, it's a good time to just take a break for a minute.
Exactly. Yeah. One more thing. So that's pretty much my book club story. I did check with my circulation staff about hot books that are really popular right now out front. One of them is the new Rebecca Yarros book called Variation, which is super popular. The minute it came in, it went out, and there's already a list a couple people deep on that one. And a new nonfiction book called Body Made of Glass by Carolyn Frampton, neither of which have I read. So... this is not the time of the year I really can do much reading because I'm so busy with holidays and family and all that kind of stuff. What's hot over there in Millbrook?
We still have The Gray Wolf. The Louise Penny book is still top of the list for sure.
Yeah.
That is, I think, going to be the hot book forever, it feels like. That's okay. Something else will come along.
Yeah.
And then I think... the new Michael Connelly book is pretty popular, The Waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the bestsellers, the new Nora Roberts, The Mirror, things like that. So,
nice.
Yeah. Nice. Also the Cher memoir.
You know, that's funny. We've had people ask for that, too, and sort of unlikely suspects, which always makes us giggle.
Yeah, a lot. I bet it's a very interesting read.
I think she's had an interesting life, our Cher. I agree. So what's happening at your library over the holiday? Exciting things, or is it quiet?
We are probably the busiest we've ever been in December, which is kind of nice. We're having our holiday silent auction closing party this Saturday, the 21st, from 3:30 to 5. And that's when people can place their last-minute bids for our holiday auction, and then... get to pick them up if they won.
Nice.
And we're also doing a storytelling event for families the same day, the 21st at 6 o'clock. So that's going to be the Winter Cherries Holiday Tales for Families with Odds Bodkin. And we're hoping to just create like a cozy winter storytelling vibe, which will be really cool. And then we're also going to be at New Year's Eve Millbrook, which is hosted by the Millbrook Rotary Club. And we're going to be there with a glow-in-the-dark bubble bus from 5 to 6 on the 31st. So that'll be really fun.
Nice.
How about at your library?
Well, we've got our regular stuff going on this week for all ages. So we've got our In the News program that happens now, an arts club today, local Young Locals game night, which is fun, French conversation in the morning. But we do a lot of programming over the holiday for the because the kids are out of school, and we have a lot of weekenders and second homeowners who suddenly have houses full of grandchildren they need to do something with. So we've got a show from the Science Heroes. They're coming on the 28th. Ooh. We've got some puzzle afternoons, and there's a teen and tween cozy movie night. The teens also set up their own free skate at one of the local rinks, which will be cute. There's a Lego free play day. This is a nice one that we've done the last couple of years called Noon Year's Eve, where basically it's a story hour about New Year's, but you do it at noon.
I love that.
Yeah, you don't really want to stay up that late. So, yeah, lots of fun things going on. It's all on our website, but there's something for just about every age group over the next couple of weeks. So it'll be busy.
Oh, yeah. We'll get through it, though.
Yes.
It'll be fun.
We will. We will. That's nice to have some extra eggnog around for times like this.
Yes.
Well, I hope you have a great holiday season and a happy new year. I guess we'll talk again in January.
Yeah, 2025. It's crazy.
I can't believe it.
All right. Well, it was great talking with you, too, and have a great rest of the 2024.
Thank you. You, too.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio, 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.